We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie at TPFL. It's Monday. It's April 15th, already halfway through April. It's tax day. Gotta love that. And we're here to talk baseball. 9-game MLB slate for today's podcast. Joined as always on Mondays by my good buddy Will Priester, Chief Just So Sick. Chief, what's happening, my friend?
Nothing much, brother. I was just kind of talking you through my weekend and how golf went. Okay, should have been a monster. Wasn't a monster. That's okay. Had a really good day of MLB on the previous slate. A lot of good things happened. So I'm ready to bring in the new week with winners for the Morning Grind crew. And non-Morning Grind crew, if you're not a regular, thank you for stopping by. Come back. We'd love to have you. Let's keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, I played some DFS baseball on Sunday. I never play DFS baseball on the weekends. And I saw Soroka pitching against the Reds, and I was like, oh, I gotta get a Red stack out there. I liked Berrios and Reagan's price on DraftKings, so I built a Reagan's Berrios Toronto Cincinnati stack. It did really well. So hopefully that is a omen to how good this is going to be for this week for DFS baseball. So, you know, start with Sunday being good. NASCAR was okay. It could have been a lot better. It could have been a lot worse. So I feel like as crazy as the NASCAR race was, I feel like losing a little bit, I'm okay with that. Because a lot of the guys I was high on kind of got, it just didn't do well. So they were doing really well and some untimely cautions. There was a caution at the end of the race during green flag pit stops. Like if that caution doesn't come out, I'd probably make like $8,000 to $10,000 on the weekend. And it came out and you never know what's going to happen. That's variance. So Yeah, so back here on Sunday night for everyone hanging out with us live on YouTube, Trey says, fellas, finished fourth in the $3 Minimax 2 days ago for 2K. Was first for a long time until the late night hammers. Thanks a lot. Congratulations, Trey. That's awesome. Let's keep it going this week, right? We're gonna build off of another good week in baseball and getting more and more data. So, yeah. Hope everyone had a great weekend. What's up, Derek, Richie, Johnson, Gerg? Hope you guys are doing good over there on YouTube. If you want to hang out with us live on YouTube, we go live most nights, Sunday night through Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and break down the slates over on the RotoGrinders Morning Grind YouTube page. And, yeah, come hang out with us. I like having chat up. I like communicating, having fun with chat, so... Will, it's an interesting slate. It's 9-gamer. Both sites left off the 5 games at 6 o'clock. So I don't know if I like this trend, but I honestly don't mind a 9-game baseball slate over like a 14-game baseball slate. So I would love to see the sites put up like really solid contests for like the 6 o'clock, like 5-game slates. I think that, you know, there's a lot of upside in those games. So, and like there's edge in like having more games on the slate, but it is what it is. So let's break down these 9. Let's have some fun. Let's have a Monday. Yankees and Blue Jays, 9 total. Pick'em game. Luis Gill against Chris Bassett in this one. We'll go to Gill first here. 7,400 going up against Toronto. Struggled a little bit with walks. Like the strikeout upside has been there. The walks have been the biggest issue with Gill here in his first 2 starts this season. He really hasn't pitched deep because he's been struggling with command a little bit. But he hasn't pitched terrible. Any interest here in Gill at 7,400?
No, I'm going to go ahead and fade Stevie. It's early in the season. This is actually his second time seeing this team in about a week. So I'm that's the reason I'm taking the fade. He's cheap enough at 7,400, but pitching isn't great in the mid range on this one. I know we got obviously we got one guy at the top end that's obviously going to be really good. In the 7-8K range, it's not spectacular. But for me, man, you know, I think I'm going to fade Gill. Same thing happened previously over the weekend, Steve, with Tanner Houck. Had faced, you know, the LA Angels. Had a really good outing the first time. Saw him again back-to-back. And what do you know? Obviously, they're tagging him a little bit. And similar for Detmers, where he had just a monster outing against Boston in the previous game. And obviously went into Boston. Did get some strikeouts, don't get me wrong, but like nothing like what we saw. I mean, he gave up some hits as well. For that reason, man, I'm going to fade Gill today. I know I went all around the world, but I don't want to touch him seeing the same team second time back-to-back. Hadn't even pitched the game in between.
Yeah, I think I'm on the fence on him. I like the price tag. I don't think there's a lot of great pitching options on this slate, just in general. So I like the price tag on Gill. The one thing that concerns me here is like, sitting at a 36.8% K rate, but his swinging strike rate is only 10%. There's a lot of regression to a 38 or 37% K rate with only a 10% swinging strike rate. Like his whiff rate is good at 25%. He's been getting right-handed hitters to whiff a lot and chase outside the strike zone. But I just see some like negative regression coming to the strikeout numbers. But at 7,400, I still think I'm okay with that. I want to see better command. But again, this is a very right-handed heavy offense. And that's one of the things that we like about Gill is like he has shown really good upside to right-handed hitters. So I think overall for me on Gill, I feel like I am on the fence. Like I want to kind of see how the day shapes up. I'll dig into more stuff in the morning. But right now I'm on the fence. I think there's some negative regression coming to his strikeout numbers. And this is not a really high strikeout matchup anyway. And you don't necessarily love that aspect. Going to Bassett on the other side here. I mean, I have been, I feel like a downer on Bassett. You know, he pitched great against Seattle, but I don't know if that's just Seattle is struggling more than Chris Bassett's back. What are your thoughts on Bassett here?
So I'm not a Bassett guy, Stevie, but you know,
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He definitely has the leash. Let me say that. He definitely has the leash. I don't actually want to play him, Stevie, to be honest with you. Coming off 115 pitches. I think New York is better than Bassett. I'm going to fade him. I'm just going to stick with how I actually feel about him. The Seattle spot, totally got it, right? Like Seattle, if he faces Minnesota, faces maybe Detroit, Pittsburgh, a low ISO team, stuff like that, I don't mind Bassett. And I know the Yankees aren't like the best offense in the league, but they're definitely better than last season. Adam Soto has done a lot for them. I'm fading Bassett today. And he's probably the best pitcher in the in this lower range. But I just can't play Chris Bassett today.
Yeah, I mean, the lineup potentially really good for him. A lot of potential right-handed hitters in this lineup. And, you know, like a lot of the power, like Judge, Stanton, right-handed hitters, Torres, Volpe. You know, you got to get around Soto. That Soto is going to give Bassett a fit in this matchup. Can Rizzo show up and hit the baseball? Can Verdugo hit the baseball? I mean, all questions you can kind of question. Like Seattle went pretty right-handed heavy against him, and he dominated them. So, you know, just worry a little bit about fading him with all the potential righties in this lineup. But, like, I just don't know if I trust Bassett. And like you said, he's coming off of a start where he made 115 pitches. Like, third start of the season, 115. That's hitting up there pretty high. They did, you know, give him an extra day, so he's on 6 days instead of 5 days, which is nice. But, I mean, I'm not a Chris Bassett guy, so I'm a little biased in the fact that, like, this dude's still giving up a ton of hard contact, and he's facing the Yankees. I don't know if I'll play Bassett today. The only reason I'd get on to Bassett is if, like, he's, like, low-owned. As far as the Yankees go, love Juan Soto. I mean, Bassett can't get left-handed hitters out. That's been his, you know, MO for the last couple seasons here. And Soto is one of the best left-handed hitters in baseball. So absolutely love this spot for Soto. Rizzo just hasn't showed a ton of upside. So I don't know how much I'd really play him, but I do like Verdugo. And I assume Austin Wells, who got the day off Sunday, is back in the lineup here. He's kind of been struggling to start the season. I could see Austin Wells at catcher being like a punt catcher play here that I play at 3,300. What are your thoughts on the Yankees?
Yeah, I do like the Yankees today. And let me just say, Stevie, I'm so disappointed in Rizzo, man. Like, a lot of people probably don't know this. Anthony Rizzo was actually my second favorite hitter behind Michael Brantley. Like, you know, because I like low strikeout guys that typically can put the ball in play, have a lot of power, which is why I like Miguel Cabrera. It's just Miggy had some power also, but he could spray the ball wherever he wanted. And I know I'm giving all these stories today, but, man, I wish Rizzo would get back to old Cubs Rizzo, hitting the ball every time at plate. Side story. I like Rizzo. I like Soto. You know, I like just – I'm probably not as high on Stanton because Stanton, man, he's just like – hacking out there every at bat. I'm not as high on Stanton as I am on Judge. Don't hate Glaber. Don't hate hitters Oswaldo Cabrera. Love to call there. You know, Wells gets in there. I don't mind him either. But my main guys for this team, I was definitely Soto, definitely Judge. Those are expensive pieces. Don't mind Volpe. Don't mind Cabrera. Don't mind Torres. And really, I kind of love Rizzo at 3,900. I just hope he can get back to really spraying the ball all over the yard.
Gotta get yawn out. No, you're good.
I gotta be a better co-host. I gotta see that coming and just, you know, keep it rolling. You know what I'm saying?
Sunday nights, brutal, man. Not to like get sidetracked, but like Friday night, I had so much stuff that I had to get done on Friday night that I stayed up all night, coached T-ball on Saturday morning, and then came back and crashed for a few hours. And still, like, I haven't caught up on like missing that sleep yet. So like I'm on the struggle bus a little bit today, but we're here. We grind. That's what we do. We're the morning grind. Rizzo, zero barrels, 34% hard hits. Like, that I think is the biggest concern with him, is he's just not hitting the ball hard. That's my concern with Rizzo just in general here. Other side of this game, any interest here in Toronto against Gill?
I think with this particular scenario, I don't mind some one-offs. Like, I don't hate Bichette. I don't hate Vlad. Justin Turner might actually be one of my favorites just because he's 4,200 today and hits lefties pretty well. So I don't hate him. George Springer, 4,600. What's that?
Gills are ready.
Oh, you're right. Oops.
Looked I got you. Pick. I just want to, yeah, anyway. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I still like these guys as one off. The bottom line is, I don't really want to play. I don't want to stack Toronto, but I still think some of these one off pieces like are going to be okay. Like Springer, the main guys. I don't mind the one off there.
Can't stop yawning. Yeezy said the grind never stops. I'm always here for you guys. I missed Friday's podcast, but I came on and gave Will a hard time about Abbott. Hey, Will, how did that Abbott fade against the White Sox go on Friday?
He only got 4 strikeouts, so I won my strikeout props.
No, well, there you go. I didn't even check. I didn't play baseball on Friday.
I don't think they didn't like light him up, but that's really what it was. I didn't think he was going to get the strikeouts because they've been such a low strikeout team. And I think I took him under 6.5 or under 6, something weird. But either way, I hit him. So
White Sox.
He only got 4, I think.
I don't have a ton of interest in the Blue Jays. I think Gill, potentially a good pitcher. The one thing that I will say, like, if you're running, like, a 20-inch or max, you're running 150 teams today, like Will kind of talked about when we were talking about Gill, this is back-to-back starts. He's facing this team. He struggled with command. If he's struggling with command and they just recently saw him, he could get shellacked in this spot. So, like, if you're wanting some upside, I think Toronto has some upside. They haven't shown it a ton this year. But, yeah. I mean, if you just kind of throw the stats out and you look at, all right, well, Gill just faced this team. He's struggling with walks. You walk a couple of these guys, a couple big hits, and your stack's off to the races if you're getting to the bullpen in the third or fourth inning here.
Yep.
All right, Pittsburgh at New York facing the Mets. 8 total in this game. Mets a 124 favorite. We got Martin Perez against Adrian Hauser in this one. Any interest here in Martin Perez?
No.
Yeah. My initial thought was no, Will. Like, I wanted to have like a quick no, but I kind of think I like him a little bit.
I just don't play Martin Perez, man. I know what he's doing.
No, and I agree with you.
I just can't.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you. It's just Martin Perez is like consistently throwing strikes, not walking people, and not getting hit, like blown up. This is in Citi Field. He's 7,600. Like, he goes out and puts up 15 to 18 points. I don't think you're mad about it on this slate. Like, yeah, we have Glass now, but outside of Glass now, do we really have like another like stud? I don't think so. I mean, you can make an argument if you think Sonny Gray is going to get, you know, 20 more pitchers, but I think Martin Perez is like at least serviceable in this spot. Like, I'm not, outside of Pete Alonso, I'm not too concerned about this lineup in general. So as much as I hate to say it, I think Martin Perez is okay today. That's not a roaring, you know,
endorsement.
Enthusiastic. That's what I was thinking about. Adrian Hauser on the other side, just not good. I mean,
Yeah.
He's just not good. Like, you know, I know Pittsburgh's lineup isn't anything to be like scared about, but Adrian Hauser is not good. I mean, he has a 9% K rate through his first couple starts. He's allowing 68% hard hits. Like, even in a bad lineup, I don't want to play Adrian Hauser here.
Yeah, he's not someone I'll be taking a look at, Stevie. I can't do it, so I'm out.
I was kind of sad, you know, when I was looking at the slate. I always look at the slate and kind of break it down before I start looking at pricing. And I was kind of sad, Will, that like the pricing is kind of up there on Pittsburgh. I was hoping like to potentially get a couple like cheap one-offs here. I still really like this spot for Jack. I almost call him Jake. Jack Swazinski. 3,600 is a really fair price tag. I think he's someone that could get a multiple hit type of game here against Hauser. Like, I definitely want to attack lefties against Hauser. But again, like, they're not necessarily like the cheapest options.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm with you there because this is a team I did think we would get, but man, I mean, just the team in general. I mean, Reynolds, 54, and he is one of their better hitters. O'Neill Cruz, 52, Cabrian Hayes, 46. Once again, this team, they're a big mixed bag. So I don't, as much as I don't like Hauser, I think all I do is maybe take a couple one-off shots because they're not in the best ballpark for hitting anyway.
Yeah, the ballpark stinks too.
Yeah, so I just, you know, maybe I one-off Cruz. Maybe I probably one-off Cruz. I probably one-off, you know, Reynolds, but I don't do too many weird things with this team. Just take the power bats and sprinkle it into my, you know, MME build.
Yeah, like Reynolds, O'Neill Cruz, Swazinski, all fine. As far as the Mets go, I mean, Pete Alonso, like if you're rolling the dice and playing a little bit of Perez, you're like, gosh, he has to get through Pete Alonso. Like that's the guy you're definitely worried about the most here. Tyrone Taylor, they faced Cole Reagans, and I think Cole Reagans is an extremely good talent just in general. But Tyrone Taylor cracked the lineup and he hit fifth. He's 2,700. If you get Tyrone Taylor hitting fifth here at 2,500, I think that is a really fair price tag for a guy that can steal some bases as well. But I'm not stacking either one of these teams. Harrison Bader, when he was with the Yankees, was good against lefties. He has multiple hits now in four straight games. So you could potentially roll him out as a value play here as well. If you're not playing Perez, I don't mind looking at the cheap righties and Pete Alonso.
Yeah. Obviously, Alonso, I don't think we have to sell you on him.
He's good at baseball.
Yeah. I mean, 5,300, not going to break the bank on this slate. Because of the pitching, there's so many things you can do. I don't want to stack against Perez either. I don't hate Marte. Like at 3,600, like I don't hate that price, Stevie. I'm getting a slight, you know, slight platoon advantage. You know, Harrison Bader, he's, you know, typically hit pretty well, even though, you know, since coming over. So if he cracks the line, which he should, because I don't think they're going to play DJ Stewart today. I don't think. So I'm in on him as well, but I'm not stacking the Mets by any stretch of the imagination.
Kansas City at Chicago, taking on the White Sox. 8.5 total in this game. Kansas City is a 186 favorite here in this 8.5. Seth Lugo, Nick Nastrani making his major league debut here. Had to look this guy up. He's not like a huge prospect or anything, so had to look him up. And I might be wrong, but I didn't see him in any like big like prospects lists earlier this year when I was doing like research for best ball. So this guy kind of caught me off guard a little bit. I don't think he's even in the player pool on DraftKings. I don't know if he's on the player pool on FanDuel. I doubt it. Let's just be honest there. But we'll talk about him as far as the hitters are concerned for Kansas City, but not in the player pool on either site from what I'm seeing. So don't have to worry about that unless they add him overnight, but I doubt they'll do that. But any interest here in Seth Lugo against the White Sox?
I may have some, Stevie. I think, you know, this might end up being the guy that we use. And once again, I'm actually not expecting Seth Lugo to come out here and set the world on fire. But, you know, I think he could put up a reasonable score somewhere between 15 and 20. At 8,400, I just feel like I'm going to have to accept that today. So I don't mind getting some Seth Lugo shares.
So, Will, I don't mind Lugo because, I think the White Sox stink. My biggest concern, do we think, like, Seth Lugo just, like, pops in projections and is like the cheap SP2, like mid-range SP2 that everyone's playing today? Like,
he may be.
I'm really concerned about like Seth Lugo of all people being chalked today.
Yeah. I'm with you. I get it.
I don't know, man. When I was looking at the slate, I think I like Sonny Gray more than I like Seth Lugo. And we're going to talk about Sonny Gray coming up. There's no doubt about it. So, like, if Lugo's getting steamed here, I might be on that, like, fade or underweight Seth Lugo. Because, like, Seth Lugo is not a huge strikeout guy. And, like, you kind of mentioned the White Sox stink, but they're not, like, this, like, massively heavy strikeout team, especially when you got a guy like Seth Lugo is on the hill that's not going to go out and like overpower you. I think right now I want to see what the ownership is, but if Seth Lugo is going to be chalk on this slate, I think I'm out. I mean, they're terrible. The White Sox are they're really, really bad. When you start looking into like how bad they've been this season, they're just not good at all, man. There, but like they have these guys at the top of the order, like Robbie Grossman's not striking out, Benintendi's not striking out, Corey Lee, this catcher, he's not striking out when he's in there. Gavin Sheets has been like really, really strong to start the year. So I mean, they stink, but they have a couple major league guys that don't strike out. And then you get into like DeJong and Fletcher and Sosa, and these guys, they can't hit wiffle balls. They're awful. So, so let's go to the other side here. You know, again, I don't think they'll add Nastrani. I guess that's how you say his name. I didn't look it up. I usually look it up before the show. I didn't look it up. I guess they add him. They won't add him here. What are your thoughts on him potentially kind of transfer, like going over and talking about the Kansas City Bats?
I mean, I don't think I'm going to play him for what it's worth. I don't think I'm going to play him. Kansas City. I like Kansas City today, Stevie. They've been my sneaky team, feels like, all season. Hitting for some power in some spots. Bobby Witt Jr.'s been playing really well. I mean, Vinny Pascantino's had some good games. Velasquez has had some good games. Melendez has had some good games. I feel like Salvador Perez, Stevie, has been one of their worst hitters for me in terms of DFS. I feel like every time they're going off, he's not contributing to the run-up. And I have him in my main lineup or in one of my good lineups. But bottom line, I think Kansas City is a good team or an emerging team, and I don't mind playing them today in a really interesting spot here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of looking. I'm looking at some of the like stats and advanced metrics on Nick Nastrani. Good fastball, 93, 95, tops 98 sometimes. He has a good like fastball movement and a good slider, but he just doesn't throw his secondary pitches hard. He struggled with command. He struggled with command in college, was drafted by the Dodgers. He was in the Chicago trade for Lance Lynn with the Dodgers last year. So, I don't know, man. I think I like Kansas City. The only thing that I, gosh, I forgot Luis Robert's hurt too. The White Sox, man, they're so bad. The only thing we should mention is Salvador Perez left the game with a groin slash like hip injury. So he might not play in this one. That hurts the overall upside of the Kansas City lineup. I like the Royals today. I think they're a really solid team. You get a young pitcher making his debut that I feel like I know a lot about baseball prospects, and I research a lot about baseball prospects. And I'll be honest, I don't remember even hearing about this guy getting traded. So he's going to go out and dominate this game, obviously. White Sox bats against Lugo. I don't mind Sheets. I really do think like Gavin Sheets is off to a really strong start. Seth Lugo is not going to throw the ball by anybody. I don't mind Sheets as like a one-off, but I'm not stacking the worst offense in baseball.
Yep. I am going to fade this team today, Stevie. No need. 9 games, weird slate. I will be fine.
Yeah. I just like the price tag on Sheets. Like, and like, man, if they, I haven't spent a ton of time on pricing today, but like, if you need a little bit of value and do like a Grossman Sheets Ben Attendi 3-man and like you're getting a really strong 5-man with it, like I don't know if you'd talk me out of that, especially if Lugo's going to be chalky. San Diego at Milwaukee, 8.5 total here. San Diego, a 126 favorite. Joe Musgrove against Joe Ross in this one. Let's start with Musgrove. Any interest here in Musgrove?
No.
It's kind of where I'm at, too. The Brewers are one of my top stacks on the slate today, so we'll talk about that in a second. Any interest here in Joe Ross on the other side?
No.
Yeah, San Diego is not a huge like strikeout matchup.
They are not.
I mean, I've been impressed. Like I was impressed against the Reds. I had interest. I played him against Minnesota. There's been a lot of positive things that have been said about Joe Ross so far to start the season. So I think in a different matchup, I potentially take a shot on Joe Ross here today. It's just the Padres don't strike out. I mean, we need some strikeouts at the end of the day. Like we got to get those strikeouts. So yeah. Bats, any interest in the bats here against Joe Ross for San Diego? Did we lose Will? I think we lost him. Is he back? No. No? All right, he's not back. All right, am I back? What's up, chat? Joe Ross, like when before the injury and everything, before he came back and he's actually been inducing a ton of ground balls and stuff, he really struggled with lefties. So I think like if you're, I mean, that's kind of, man, I'm on the fence about Joe Ross. If Joe Ross is going to be really low owned and San Diego runs like a really right-handed heavy lineup out there, I might actually play a little bit of Joe Ross. I don't mind. I really don't mind Cronenworth. He's a guy that I love against right-handed pitching and just kind of never gets played. No one ever plays this guy, especially now that he's like first base only. He's hit 3 home runs in the last 5 games. So Jay Cronenworth, baby, love this guy. Made me a lot of money in DFS a couple years ago. The other side, I love the Padres today. I really hope Yelich comes back and he's good to go. I know he's dealing with a back. Like Yelich off to a scorching start and like was healthy, and we just absolutely loved it because we just want, you know, Christian Yelich to be healthy. It stinks that like his back is acting up because like this is a spot you definitely want to play some Yelich. But I like the Brewers stack today. I think Milwaukee is a team that we've been playing a lot and we've been talking about them a lot, and I think they have a lot of upside just in general. So I'm not a huge Joe Musgrove fan just in general here. So the fact that like we're getting Milwaukee against Musgrove, I think they're one of the top stacks on the slate. So really like Milwaukee, and Yeezy yelled, nailed it. They're easy to stack. They're cheap. So very interested in Milwaukee. Will, any interest in San Diego bats or Milwaukee bats here?
Yeah, I actually like both sides of this game in terms of stacking. San Diego just more so because they are a low strikeout team. And so, you know, for me, when guys are a low strikeout team and they do have some power that will show up, I just like to keep playing them. I know we've got it going around our Roto Grudges team, Stevie, that San Diego's gutless. Our good friend Kirk Dees, they're gutless, but you know, they still got some hitters there. And in terms of the Milwaukee side, it's really more so I don't trust Joe Musgrove long term right now. He's gonna have to prove it to me for a few more starts before I decide that, you know, he's someone that I don't want to attack. So I really, you know, really just attacking him with the full stack of this team. And man, I hate Christian Yelich has been out, Stevie. Because he was on a really nice tear. So hopefully they get him back really soon. But all in all, I don't mind stacking both sides of this game. It won't be a primary stack for me, Stevie. Maybe some three-mans, but I definitely think both of these sides or either of these sides could get it done.
So really quick before we move on, are you somewhat concerned about how much Joe Ross has been inducing ground balls and how much the Padres hit the ball on the ground?
No, I'm hoping for some good BABIP. okay. I mean, I'm gonna play him. I think I'm at this point. I'm probably pod committed to the Padres.
Well, I'm pod committed to the Brewers, and they keep making me money, so I'm going right back to the well in the Brewers stack. We got Atlanta at Houston, 9.5 total in this game. Your Braves, a slight favorite. We got a couple of young arms facing off against each other here. Darius Vines, who we saw a little bit last year, and Spencer Argetti, the spaghetti. He did not pitch well in his first start. It was not good. It was great if you stacked against him. Let's go to Vines here, 7,800. Like I said, we saw him a little bit last year. Any interest here in him?
Nah, I'm not taking people against Houston, man. Not a wise proposition. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, is the Braves hurting this bad that like they're like,
yes,
this guy does not have overpowering stuff. I looked at some of the Baseball Savant stuff on him, and like he just does not have like overpowering stuff. Like the Braves rotation.
Now you see
really...
why I've been clamoring for us to get more pitching.
You just lost one of the best pitchers in baseball for the season. So, but they got to do something.
Even still, he's one guy. Like I knew we still needed some more. Like this, why I was like, we got to find Stevie. This is why I'm like, we needed to find a way to get Charlie Morton to the bullpen. Like it's just, but Charlie's gonna have to play now. I'm sorry. Stevie. It's a sad time to be a Braves pitching fan. That's all it is. So I'm sorry. I derailed this thing with my sad Spencer Strider rant.
Yeah, you're good. I love the Houston bats. We'll talk about them in a second. I don't want to play Darius Vines here. And
pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Spencer, Mr. Spaghetti, he really struggled, Will. Like, he had an awful start, you know, last time out. His debut did not go great. Three innings. Kansas City, absolutely. They crushed him. They were hitting the ball hard against him. He wasn't really blowing the ball by anybody. I do not want to play him against the Braves today. While their pitching staff might be banged up, their hitters are not.
Stevie, the hitting keeps dragging us to every win we have every game.
Today, well, look at the lineup, game, man.
Back and forth affair. We're up 5-0. Charlie Morton leaves the game. It's 5-5. We're down 7-5. Next thing I know, we're up 9-7. Stevie, one thing the Braves don't have a problem doing is scoring runs. This team just knows how to score runs. Love the Braves today. Stack the whole team. It is what it is. Run it up.
Yeah. Chat's talking about the over in this game. Well, it is my morning grind game bet, but I mean, I'm with you, Chad. I agree. I like the over in this game as well. I already bet the over at 9.5. So, love the stacks. I mean, Houston and Atlanta, two of the top stacks on slate. Every which way you want to stack them, load up on them here. This is a great spot for both of these teams. Yeah, I mean, Atlanta's expensive. Houston's pricing is kind of more doable, especially if Bregman sits. But yeah, I mean, both of these teams stack up this game, stack up these hitters. Hopefully we get some cheap pieces. And I mean, it just goes back to the argument of, you know, the cheap pitching, where like we might be more willing to take shots on some of these cheap pitchers because of this game in general. Like, this game is far above the rest of the games on the slate for me. And the next game we're going to talk about, I like that game too, and we'll talk about it in a second. But I like the Houston and Atlanta. I'm guessing you have the same thoughts on Houston.
Oh, man, Stevie, I mean, it's no question. I mean, it's I just saw a hockey game end 6-5. This is a baseball game that could end 12-11. Like, this,
I hope so. I like the
this over. Could be fireworks. The problem is, Stevie, you're not going to be able to fit in everyone. You're going to have to get creative if you're trying to, you know, go full game stack mode. But it probably won't matter. Like, this should be a good spot. Maybe you stack the bottom of the order for Atlanta, top of the order for Houston. Then maybe you stack the top of the order for Atlanta, bottom of the order for Houston. Then maybe you mix and match a pizza pasta. It's a me, a Mario. Like, just pick your poison. It's going to be a great game.
My kids love the new Mario movie. It's on my TV all the time. Cubs and Diamondbacks, 9 total in this game. Arizona, 150 favorite. We got Ben Brown and Merrill Kelly facing off against each other. Any interest here in Ben Brown?
No.
So my concern with Ben Brown is the dude is getting shelled by lefties. Like, just absolutely everything that lefties are hitting, they're just hitting it really hard. And he's kind of gotten a little lucky with lefties, but
this is going to be a tough spot, buddy.
Yeah. You look at the lineup, man. Marte, Carroll, Jock, McCarthy. They could potentially catch Barnhart to give him another lefty. Jace Peterson could play second to give him another lefty. So, yeah. You know, Arizona's not a heavy strikeout team anyway. Ben Brown still kind of getting stretched out. This is a guy that was supposed to work out of the bullpen this year, and they've kind of converted him into a starter. I don't know if I want to play him either. Like, if for some reason we get a lot of righties, sure. I mean, the dude has a 32% K rate with a 16% swinging strike rate against righties, sitting at an 8% swinging strike rate against lefties with only a 20% whiff rate. So, really worried about the splits that we've seen very early here for Brown, and you definitely worry about it even more in this matchup against a very, very left-handed heavy offense. Like, I think Brown potentially really solid for the year if he stays in this starter role, but from what we've seen so far against lefties, he has a lot of work to do. His xFIP is over 5 against lefties, and like, again, this is a guy, he's gotten a little lucky. You look at some of the left on base stuff, and yeah, I mean, just getting hit really hard. 0% home run to fly ball. I don't know. I don't know if that could stay up with a hard hit rate that he has over there. So
yeah,
I think I'm off Ben Brown. Merrill Kelly, 9,400. Tough matchup going up against the Cubbies. I think that this lineup has kind of been one of the bigger shocks of the season, just in general. Any interest here in Kelly?
I'm going to have to. I grade Kelly out as, you know, probably better than most guys on this slate. Now, look, Stevie, I've been Xing out a lot of pitchers on the beginning. Don't worry. As we get closer to the end of the night, tons of pitchers I love. But I think Kelly stays in my pool today because there's so many I don't like in this cheap range. I'm going to have to build around Glass now and a host of other pitchers that we're going to be talking about real soon. But Kelly's going to stay in the pool for me today because he does have the upside. If everything breaks its way, he could go 6 innings, 7, 8 Ks, give up a run or two, and still, you know, get you 25 fantasy points. So that's why he stayed in my pool. It's more about potential than the matchup for me today.
Yeah, I like the attack, the strikeouts here. I mean, the Cubs have been a solid lineup, and they have a lot of power, but they still strike out. So I think you could chase some strikeouts. Like, does Merrill Kelly burn you here if he gives up, like, a couple runs, but, you know, racks up, like, 8 strikeouts? Probably not. So he's definitely probably happy to get back home after pitching his last game in Coors, too. I don't mind Kelly. I prefer Sonny Gray. Like, don't worry, we're going to talk about Sonny Gray in the next game, but I prefer Sonny Gray. I mean, that's just kind of where I'm at. So,
and some other guys. Listen, the back of this slate is loaded with pitching. I told the prop shop at, like, I don't know, earlier today, Stevie, I said, I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys now, most of my pitching props are going to come from the later games on this slate coming up. So I just went ahead and told them ahead of time.
I am so intrigued by you saying there's a lot of pitching left. I'm not going to spoil it. I want to know more when we get there. Cubs bats against Kelly. Any interest here in the Cubs bats?
I don't mind some one-off. So, like, you know, of course, any of their power bats, Stevie, I'm going to be okay with. And, Bellinger's obviously there. That's a little pop, too. So I don't want to get rid of him. I also don't want to get rid of Swanson. I know it's righty-righty. He does have some power. And then Morrell, Steve, who started out the season very hot. I know he's calmed down here recently, but he's also got some pop in that bat. So it's mostly just some one-off plays. That's about it.
Michael Busch has hit a home run in 4 straight games. Right. Obviously he's not going to keep doing that. But, I mean, I think we at least have to respect how good he's hitting the ball right now. Yeah. You know, and when you're attacking Kelly, you kind of want to attack Kelly with, like, left-handed power. I know he's been a little bit more reversey this year, but, like, over his career, you want to attack Kelly with, like, left-handed power. So, I mean, Michael Busch, I think, is okay. And then on the Arizona side, I kind of like the Arizona stack today. Like,
oh yeah,
I feel like this is a spot where getting a young pitcher still trying to figure out, like, that out pitch against lefties and work on that out pitch. Like, I think Arizona has too many lefties not to have interest in them against a pitcher that in a very small sample size has struggled big time with lefties.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. Arizona to me is also one of the top stacks of the day, Stevie. And I think a lot of people are going to gravitate to Atlanta, Houston. And I think that's the right call. I don't think you need to be avoiding those teams, but I definitely think Arizona fits that bill. I'm wondering if they're going to rest Gurriel. I feel like they just rested Gurriel the day before yesterday, but it was pretty recent. So I'm just not sure how they're going to handle their main lineup, Stevie, because they have done some interesting platoon things even early this season. I feel like they sat Corbin Carroll and played a bunch of righties. So they did something interesting here. I'm not sure if they're going to do that today, but I'm definitely expecting Carroll to be in the lineup, Peterson to be in the lineup, and Marte to lead off. Like, I'm expecting that. So I'm proceeding with at least those 4 to 5 bats. You mentioned Jace Peterson as well, along with Jock. I'm expecting those guys to suit up. And that reason, I mean, I love Arizona today. I think they're a premier stack.
Yeah, I mean, with Alec Thomas going on the IL, I feel like Gurriel is going to be an everyday guy. I thought he was an everyday guy anyway. Jake McCarthy should play in this spot. And I feel like Peterson's in a platoon with Grichik. You know, Grichik might get actually a little bit more playing time in the field here with Thomas on the IL. But I think for the most part, we see McCarthy. He's the better defender anyway. Yeah. Fielder, defender. NBA season. officially over for regular season. St. Louis at Oakland, 7.5 total in this game. Cardinals are 168 favorite. We got Sonny Gray against Ross Stripling. I mean, I know I've been waiting to talk about it. He looked absolutely dominant in his first start of the season against Philadelphia. He threw 64 dominant pitches, just absolutely just – I watched it. I was so impressed by Sonny Gray in that start. And he threw five innings, struck out five in 64 pitches, and still gave up a few hits. Like, he just was really efficient. And now he gets Oakland. I assume he gets 15 to 20 pitch bump here. So, like, I think we're in the 80 to 85 range. I wouldn't be shocked if he throws 75. I still think Sonny Gray is my SP1 on this slate. I know Glasnow's on this slate, and he's getting Washington. But I think Sonny Gray, considering price, is just a better play. On DraftKings, I haven't looked at FanDuel pricing yet, but Sonny Gray definitely see, I think I'd find a little bit of extra money on FanDuel to get Glasnow, but I'll play Sonny Gray as well over there. Glasnow just has more pitch upside and could pitch deeper in the game, get a higher probability for the quality start over there. What are your thoughts here on Sonny Gray?
Yeah, I love Sonny Gray, Steven. We talked about we were going to get to some pitching down the stretch. This is one of the main targets. You know, you asked me, why don't I want to risk it today, Stevie, and play the likes of Bassett, Vines, Perez, Gill, Ross, all the guys. I don't need them. Sonny Gray is right there. Seth Lugo's just okay. Sonny Gray to me feels like one of the better pitchers, obviously. Matchup with Oakland. There's going to be some strikeouts in this lineup. Sonny Gray, and you talked about it, Stevie. If you watched Sonny Gray pitch in the playoffs last year against Houston, you kind of saw something similar to what you saw the other day, right? Like, he's a guy that can really pitch. Every pitcher's going to give up some hits, gave up some hits, but just is in control of the game when he's on. And I think he's going to have it against Oakland. Pitching in Oakland, Stevie, is going to help him anyway. That ballpark, not very friendly to runs the later it gets in the day. I love Sonny Gray. I think this is a good spot. And obviously, I know that they're playing at, you know, 640 their time. But even still, I think Sonny Gray has a masterful performance here. Love the price on him. They couldn't quite bump him too high, Steve, because they're probably uncertain of whether he'll hit 85 to 90 pitches. And that's better for us on this slate when we needed the price reduction.
All right, let's talk about the other side of this game. We got Ross Stripling against Cards. Any interest here in Stripling?
I don't care how bad the Cardinals have been. I'm not playing Ross Stripling.
Gosh.
I can't do it. I'm not doing it, Stevie. Do not come up with any type of real selling point here.
Okay. I don't necessarily want to sell anybody on Ross Stripling. I feel like there's many, many ways and many times this season that I will I'll plant a flag on somebody. But I don't think Ross Stripling is someone I'm like excited about by any means. I will say Zach Gallen, who had kind of struggled a little bit to start the season, all he needed was a matchup against the Cardinals on Sunday. And
I love Zach dominated. Gallen today.
Yeah.
Zach Gallen made me a lot of money in baseball today, friend. I can tell you that right now.
All right. So here's the thing about Ross Stripling, and this is more of why I don't necessarily think I want to stack the Cardinals more than I don't necessarily want to play Ross Stripling, but it's really interesting. Like, Stripling doesn't walk people. His ISO is way down this year, just in general. And I was like, why is like Ross Stripling just not, he's just not getting hit hard. And like, he literally just faced one of the best teams in baseball. You know, Texas, he gave up 11 hits and 6 earned runs, but he still didn't necessarily get hit hard. And it's like, all right, well, the dude's just generating, you know, ground balls. He's literally throwing five pitches, and like, he's just trying to keep hitters off balance. And in that aspect, it's kind of working. Like, you know, his ISO's way down, his hard hit rate is down from last year. He's not giving up a ton of barrels, but the dude is getting so lucky. Like, he's getting so lucky. Like, he gave up 6 earned runs last start, and he's still, like, his stats are saying that he's getting very lucky. I don't know. If the Cardinals are going to be alone today, I think you could take some shots on the Cards. If they're going to be chalky, I might pass, but you like the prices, right? You're getting Ross Stripling. You're getting a cheap Cardinals stack. Newt Barr came back, and that's always good. That adds another left-handed bat in this lineup, which is nice, especially against Stripling. What are your thoughts on the Cardinals' bats here?
Many stacks, but I'm not going full stack on the Cardinals. Three is my max for the Cardinals, Stevie. And if they score 12 runs today, hey, good job. But I 3 is my max.
Well, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I feel like Stripling gives up stolen bases. So, like, maybe you're taking some shots on, like, Scott or Wynn here to get, you know, some stolen base upside. But I think so on my notes, I wrote down cheap Cardinals bats. That's what I wrote down. So I think that's where I would attack the Cardinals, is looking at some of these cheaper bats. And I could say for certain I'm not playing any Oakland bats here. I don't have any interest in Oakland bats.
Zero.
All right, Cincinnati at Seattle, 7.5 total in this game. Seattle, 158 favorite. Frankie Montas against George Kirby. Any interest here in Montas?
Love Montas today, Stevie. Been waiting for it. These are both two pitchers in the same game. This might be the best pitching matchup of the night. I'm very excited to get in on Frankie here. Listen, I've watched pitchers aplenty face the Seattle Mariners this season and do exactly what I need them to do. Get out there, get the strikeouts, don't get blown up too bad, and let's cruise to the fantasy points or the strikeouts we need. I literally just saw Javier Assad face the same team with most of their primetime players, most, not all, most of their primetime players, walk right out there and get 6 strikeouts, pitch 6 innings. And while Frankie Montas, I think he's still working through some things, Stevie, because, you know, he's getting back from that injury. I think this is a great spot for him at 9K. We saw him against Washington, which is a low strikeout team, but what, 6th inning, 4K. We saw him against Philly, 5 2/3, 5Ks, 100 pitches. Milwaukee got touched up, but still went 5 innings, 4 strikeouts, 96 pitches. I think Frankie Montas can get through 6 today. If he doesn't get touched up, I think he's close to optimal at 9K. He's got a longer leash than Sonny Gray, and I love Sonny Gray today. I think he's probably the best in the best spot of the day in terms of pitching. But I think if Montas is right today, Seattle has been able to cure all. Give me Montas at 9K.
Anybody watching on YouTube is probably like, Stevie did not see that coming, because that's the facial reaction that I just had. I wasn't expecting you to love Montas. I thought, like, when I was looking through the slate, I thought Montas was an okay option today. You might have swayed me a little bit because of how passionate you liked them or liked him. I mean, I like the strikeout upside. Like you said, Seattle strikes out a ton, just in general. Like, you know, that's been their downfall this year, is like the bottom half of this lineup: Rojas, Riley, Rayleigh, Mitch Garver, Canzone, Corey Polanco has been
34%, 38%,
yeah, just
47%, 40% for Polanco. That's on the season.
Yeah, none of their everyday starters have a strikeout rate under 20% this season against right-handed pitching. So, and we saw that a little bit last year, but, like, Ty France was better at putting the ball in play last year. So, I mean, I hear why you like him. It's just in my head, I don't know. Frankie Montas at 9K when it's the price more than anything else. But I guess, like, you kind of overlooked that. George Kirby on the other side of this game, we get two really heavy strikeout teams that all, like, have power. Both of these teams have power, but they also strike out. I watched George Kirby in the Toronto start. He was awful, dude. His command was awful. He was leaving balls over the plate, and Toronto was just punishing him, and Cleveland did that in the start before that. I think, like, the upside is, like, you're facing a young Reds team that is definitely going to chase a little bit more, but, like, you have to have your command to get him to chase. Like, I don't know. I might make Kirby like show me a start before I play him. And I have some like slight interest in the Reds bats. So I think I'm going to pass on George Kirby today. I think I'd actually prefer Montas over Kirby.
Oh, for sure. I absolutely prefer Montas over Kirby. I want to make my case. But when I said this is the best pitching matchup of the night, to me, I do think Kirby has somewhat of a get-right start here. If, Stevie, if the command is there. You talked about there's definitely some strikeouts for the Cincinnati Reds. I'm definitely not as passionate about Kirby as I am about Montas. But I am going to play some Kirby today because I do still think he's a better pitcher than most pitchers on this slate under Sonny Gray. And that's really the problem. It's like Sonny Gray and then everyone else. So I'm not going to have a whole lot of cheap pitchers, if any, today. Sonny Gray might be kind of my threshold. Maybe I get to Lugo, but I'm basically going to be cycling through Glasnow, Kelly, Montas, Kirby, Gray. That's pretty much what I'm doing today. And I'm going to let everybody else, you know, have to prove to me that they're good.
Any interest in the Reds bats here?
I don't mind one-off, Stevie. So I definitely don't hate the one-off power bats. I mean, Martini, my goodness, he hit another one, I think, yesterday. Benson, a lot of power, a lot of strikeouts. But I'll one-off this team. But I don't think I'm gonna stack them today.
I hate the ballpark. Ballpark's the biggest thing here, but it's good to see Encarnacion Strand start to get going a little bit. Benson's been fantastic. Martini's been fantastic. Wish they'd hit him up in the lineup. Ellie De Cruz off to a really slow start this season. And I say that, like, he has home runs and he steals bases, but, like, he goes 0 for a lot. You know, you play him for the ceiling. I don't mind a red stack today. If they're going to be low owned, I wish the ballpark was better, so maybe I mini stack them. But if George Kirby's not right, I feel like there's a lot of upside with the Reds.
Yeah.
I don't have any interest in Seattle. Like,
nope. None.
They have been, like, Julio Rodriguez has yet to hit a home run this year. And, like, I was just quickly looking at some of the advanced metrics for Julio Rodriguez, like, hoping that, like, maybe there was something that kind of stood out. But, like, I don't know, man. He's under a 40% hard hit rate, and he's not hitting the ball, like, barrel-wise, and he's hitting a ton of ground balls. So I think that's a huge concern for Julio Rodriguez there for Seattle.
He may have a problem with his swing mechanics, Stevie. You never know. I mean, a guy goes from that to – it's kind of like – I don't know. If he's hitting ground balls, maybe he changed something in his swing.
Yeah, I mean, some guys just, like, it's really slow to get going sometimes. All right, going to the last game here. We got Washington at LA facing the Dodgers. 8.5 total. The Dodgers are a 360 favorite in this game.
They should be.
No, Mitchell,
as funny as it sounds, they should be.
Yeah, Mitchell Parker against Tyler Glasnow. Any interest here in Mitchell Parker? This would be his debut.
Steve, I've got like the best analysis for this game ever, and the answer is no. No Mitchell Parker. Are you thinking 4K?
I have slight, tiny, itty bitty. I don't know how many teams I'd have to get to. I probably play three today because my son has a baseball game today. So I probably just play three teams, and I don't know if I get to them on a third three team build. But I will say, like, this dude has shown really good strikeout upside in the minors. He has like a 91 to 95 mile an hour fastball. And I saw a video of him when I was researching him. He throws his curveball from the same arm slot as his fastball. So for people that don't know that are watching on YouTube, when you're throwing your fastball and you're throwing it like here and you're throwing from the same arm slot, if you can mimic that with another pitch, like, you're not giving off a tell. You know, like, one of the biggest tells for baseball hitters are, like, sometimes you'll have a fastball from like here, and then you'll have your curveball from like just a little bit more off like your arm angle. And that's a tell for a hitter, like, hey, there's a curveball coming. And, like, if you ever – I know a lot of people don't like the guy, but if you ever want, like, a masterclass on, like, arm angle, Trevor Bauer, just phenomenal. He throws four pitches from the same arm slot, and that's why he was one of the best strikeout pitchers in baseball. But I think
Framber does the same thing, too. It's either Framber or Valdez, one of the two. Like, almost all their pitches come out the same. And it's
when you can do that on a consistent basis and you're throwing like mid-90s as a lefty, you have a little bit of upside. I don't know. He's 4K, Will. Like, when we're looking at stacking the Braves and stuff and we want a good pitcher and a good, like, bats with the Braves, like, I mean, what other cheap pitcher are you going to play today? Like, that's kind of my thought process here when we're looking at, like, cheaper pitchers. Like, I don't know if I trust any of these guys. So, like, why not just take the 4K guy that has a little upside? Like, I think the other option would be, like, Stripling. But that, I mean, do we trust Stripling at 6K more than we trust, like, a young pitcher who they might not have a ton of data on? I don't know. It's a tough spot, right? Like, you're facing the Dodgers, but, like, is it as daunting as it used to be? Because, like, they're like, they power a lot of the past season. And a lot of the power comes from the left side, right? Like, Mookie, you got to get through Mookie. Good luck with that. I mean, if I'm Mitchell Parker, I just put him on base. Like, hey, take your first base. And I try to get Ohtani to ground out in a double play or something. But the thing is, like, they usually hit, like, Ohtani and Freeman back-to-back, second and third in this lineup. So, like, he's getting a righty to start, and then he's, you know, can kind of settle in against these two lefties. So, I don't know. The Dodgers have sneakily been bad against lefties to start the season. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, somewhat a little, like, very slightly interested in him because he's 4K. Love when you see, like, arm slot. But, like, this isn't a huge prospect either, for what it's worth. Like, this guy, from what I was reading, is, like, 21st in the Washington organization. Like, he's not, like, this huge prospect. But, yeah, I mean, he did really well with, like, walks and stuff in the minors. So, like, I think he could throw strikes, and I think I'd be okay with, like, 12 points. I really think I'd be okay with, like, 12 points.
Right now, Mitchell Parker got 12 points, Stevie. I might almost hit the lock button. Because that means I can play every offense I want.
This goes back to my argument on, like, taking some shots on, like, Martin Perez, Luis Gil, and Joe Ross, is because, like, the bats, we got to prioritize bats. Like, there's too many good stacks today not to prioritize bats. And, like, when you're prioritizing bats, you have to find that, like, cheap SP2 to pair with, like, Montas or Gray. Like, you know, you're going to get one of those guys. You know, you're not going to get both of those guys. Yeah, I mean, you could potentially get Montas and Gray. I mean, that's probably my main build. I'll build around Montas and Gray, and, you know, kind of thinking about it more and more. So, I don't know. It's a really interesting pitching slate. We're going to talk about Tyler Glass now. Like, I mean, he's the guy you're feeling the most confident in playing today. He finally showed, like, Tyler Glass now, like, strikeout upside in his last start. Goodness. Like, just absolutely came out and dominated Minnesota. Like, hey, this is why I came to LA and just said, hey, hit this if you can, and they couldn't. I mean, if you're paying up for a guy, Glasnow's the guy. Like, if you can fit in Glasnow, you fit in Glasnow. He's the guy today.
Oh, he will get fit in. Plenty of lineups, Stevie. You may have to get creative with some of the better baseball teams, or better's relative, top-end priced baseball teams, Stevie. Like, you're going to have to get really creative, but I'll find a way to get creative. Glasnow, man, I don't think anybody has more pure upside on the slate than him, given the situation. Like, he's got more upside than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, just a great spot. I don't want to play any Washington bats against him here. I'm guessing you're in the same boat.
Absolutely. No Washington bats.
Any interest here in the Dodgers?
Yep, don't hate the Dodgers. I'm always okay with the Dodgers. Like Freddie Freeman, you know, always typically low strikeout. I don't mind him. Same thing for Mookie. I think Max Muncy hit another home run today. So either way, I'm still okay. The rest of this order, they do have some guys out, like you know, Hayward's out, and he's more of one of their back end bats. And they've been playing Outman, Lux, Chris Taylor, or Kiki Hernandez, sometimes both. But I don't hate Outman at 3,800. Like, if you want to get a part of this stack, he's 3,300. He's cheap. And, you know, he's been able to – he's put together some really nice games here recently, Stevie, so I don't hate him at all. I do like the Dodgers. I will have some Dodgers stacks in my mass multi-entry bill for sure.
All right, I know I just said all that stuff about Mitchell Parker. For what it's worth, the Dodgers, I think, are one of the top stacks on the slate today. He has good strikeout like ability and strikeout upside, but like he struggles with home runs. Okay. You struggle against home runs with the Dodgers bats. Good luck with that, dude. That's not going to work. So while I was like making the argument to potentially play him, I don't know if I'll get to Parker. I might play Ross Stripling. I might play Ross Stripling and just hope that Ross Stripling is on the right side of BABIP today and scores like 12, 13 points. But I honestly might play a little Martin Perez too in Citi Field against the Mets. I might play a little bit of Martin Perez. But anyway, yeah, I love Dodgers today. I think this is a great spot. We're going to potentially get Kiki Hernandez or Chris Taylor in the lineup here. They're solid against lefties. They're both really cheap. Like Kiki's 29, Taylor's 28. That's how you're going to make a Dodgers stack work today. Mookie Betts. I think today is one of those days where, like, when you're looking at the slate overall and you're like, you're looking at second base, shortstop, I think today is the day that you're feeling good about prioritizing, like, Mookie Betts. I think his ceiling is massive in this spot.
Yep,
all right, let's play the morning grind game. Always fun. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts today. Who do you got?
My problem is I don't like anybody to get six or more strikeouts under 8K, Stevie. But I think if I had to choose one guy, I think I'm going to go with Gil. He's got the upside if things come together for him yet again against Toronto.
You talked all the smack about him, and you take my pick. Like, you're like, I don't like this guy. He stinks. And you take my pick.
Well, he doesn't stink,
that's not exactly what you said, but I am mad that you took my pick. I don't think anybody else in this price range gets six or more strikeouts today. For what it's worth, I will take Martin Perez, but I don't know. And like he's done it in two or three starts this year. Maybe Perez is the guy. Maybe Perez, Martin Perez, the guy today. Oh, it makes me like hurl in my mouth. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Ooh, man. I actually think we have some options, Stevie. I'm going with Joe Musgrove. He's going to have to prove it to me yet again.
Are you looking at my sheet? yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't like Joe Musgrove at all today. I like Milwaukee bats. I'm going to go Kirby. Kirby's got to show me a start before I start liking George Kirby. And I think George Kirby is very talented. I talked about him a lot last year. I don't know if something's wrong or not, but he has not been good yet this year. Over 4K to go yard. Who's hitting a home run today?
Oh, man, Stevie. I think we've got some options. I was trying to stay away from the Atlanta-Houston game, but I can't. In good conscience, not take Yordan Alvarez today at 5,900. My goodness, man. What a time to be alive when Houston plays Atlanta this early and two bad pitchers.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I like Mookie Betts a lot, too. I am going to go Juan Soto today to be my expensive bat to hit a home run. I like Mookie a lot. And Mookie's been scorching. I like Yordan Alvarez a lot, too.
Yeah.
Under 4K to get two hits. Who is a cheap bat that you like today?
Give me Nelson Velasquez from Kansas City. Love the spot for them today. You know, interesting spot for him attacking the pitcher. I like it a ton. Give me Velasquez from Kansas City.
Yeah, don't mind it. I mean, this guy is definitely one of my favorite cheap bats on the slate today. I assume that he'll be in the lineup. I really hope he hits higher up in the lineup, but I mean, you never know what you're going to get with him. But give me Blake Perkins for Milwaukee. I absolutely love this guy. He's gotten called up and he's hit. He's like, hey, I'm here, I'm hitting. So absolutely love what we've seen from Blake Perkins, and he's a switch hitter. So, like, you know, he's a guy that doesn't typically get pinch hit for. But yeah, give me Blake Perkins. He got stolen base upside too. So stack to score six or more runs today. Who do you get?
All right, Stevie. I'm gonna stay away from the Atlanta Houston game. I'm gonna take a different one. This is a team we talked about. It's a team I really like. I think they're one of the premier stacks of the day as well. Give me the Arizona Diamondbacks. No secrets there.
Thought you were gonna say the Brewers. I was gonna mute you and finish the show by myself. I love the Brew Crew today. I've been on this train. I know my boy Yeezy in chat has been on this train. The Brewers are just hitting the ball really well. And, like, I hate paying up for, catchers, but Contreras has been fantastic. They hit him leadoff on Sunday, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, I like this. I mean, you get cheap bats here too. Like, I just got done talking about Perkins at 3,200. If Dunn cracks the lineup, he's 3,400. Terang has been a guy, like, if he gets on base, he's been running. So, like, you love the upside in that, in this spot against Musgrove. Like, I'm pretty sure you can steal off Musgrove. I forget off the top of my head.
I'm almost positive. Like,
yeah. So I'm gonna look it up really quick. You have any going to the betting portion of the show, do you have any bets or pick and plays that you like today?
I do. And I'm going with something really interesting here, Stevie. As much as I'm okay with George Kirby, give me the Reds at +140 right now. Montas on the mound. I think Montas has his way with this team today. So give me the Reds at +140. And then I'm not sure where Montas is going to come out at strikeout wise. I'm assuming 4.5, Stevie. It might be 5.5, though. They might actually give him the bump because this team's been so strikeout prone. If it is 4.5, give me the over.
So I was thinking of Clevinger when I was thinking of Musgrove. But 12-0, 12 stolen bases, 0 caught stealing last year against Musgrove, and Milwaukee loves to run. So just throwing it out there. We'll see. I like the Atlanta Houston over 9.5 here. There wasn't any props out when I was looking at the slate yet. So we'll see what we get throughout the day tomorrow and in the morning. And, you know, sometimes even later tonight, depending on what time I go to bed. But I like the Atlanta Houston over 9.5. We're both on this game. I don't think either one of these pitchers are necessarily good young pitchers. And Darius Vines just doesn't have, like, dominating stuff like we talked about. And Houston's a team you really got to be able to attack, or they're just going to pound the baseball on you. They don't really like to miss bats. So, I mean, it's a really tough spot. So I like the Atlanta Houston over 9.5. Will, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Negative, man. Thank you guys for joining us. Great show. I enjoyed it, Stevie. And hopefully people make a little money along the way.
Yeah, I like this slate. This is a fun slate. I think that there's a lot of ways to build differently on the slate, and those are always my favorite types of slates. Hope everyone has a fantastic Monday. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already over there on YouTube. We're back tomorrow talking baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.